Welcome to episode 9 of the You Matter podcast series with Noonday Collection. I'm Whitney Ray, and today we are taking you behind the scenes of the design process. Katie McCauley sits down and talks the winter line, design, and artisan impact with Joanna Robinson. At the end, you will hear from Heather Bauer as she shares about what design means to her as an ambassador. Before we dive into all things design, though, I want to remind you that the You Matter podcast was created to communicate to ambassadors how you matter and connect you with the stories of impact happening because of you. Without ambassadors, Noonday wouldn't exist. So maybe you're listening on the way to a trunk show right now, you're on your daily commute, or just taking care of things around the house. Whatever you're doing, we hope you walk away encouraged and knowing what a part you play in the overall impact happening at Noonday. And you may have noticed we've hashtagged You Matter. We did that because we want this to be a conversation, and it's happening over on our Facebook group. After listening to episode 8 of You Matter, Jessica Lee shared this. When I was listening to the You Matter podcast and heard Jennifer Jensen's voice, I seriously felt peace. It was a very stressful day, and hearing her talk about Shine and our great friendship that we have found, it just comforted me. I am completely in love with my Noonday sisters. We are a tribe, and I am so honored to be a part of it. Thank you, Home Office, for the podcast. It's filling me up, and I love every single one. I've listened to them multiple times and used many facts about Ethiopia at my shows lately because of the work done in the podcast. Thank you. Can't wait to hug your necks at Shine, ladies. Jessica, I am so glad the podcasts are meaning so much to you. We cannot wait to hug your neck at Shine soon. And because your time matters, I want to be sure you've seen the new ambassador calendar located in your ambassador studio. If you have a Google calendar, you can easily sync the Noonday calendar with your calendar, and it's going to make it very easy for you to keep track of all the important dates for your Noonday business. It's in your ambassador studio on the main dashboard. Look for it in the lower right-hand corner. All right, let's talk design. To say Noonday's design team is creative is an understatement. The quality of the items and the caliber of design is absolutely phenomenal. So today, we want to pull back the curtain a little bit and let you see behind the scenes of the overall design process. So much love and care and thought and intentionality goes into each and every piece that makes it into the final line. Katie McCauley sits down and chats with Joanna Robinson. She leads up Noonday's collaborative design team. Join them now as they talk through the inspiration of the winter line, the overall line design process, and how artisan made goods and the impact we are hoping to make through long-term partnership and job opportunities impact the end design.
Joanna, thanks so much for taking time today to tell us about your creative process and how the line comes to life. I'm really, really looking forward to sharing this with the ambassador community.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. So can you talk about what inspired the winter line? Was there any art or regional specific things that you drew inspiration from?
Actually, we purchased this amazing book called Before They Pass Away. It's by this photographer named Jimmy Nelson, and it tells the story of all these indigenous cultures from all over the world, and it's really inspiring. Sarah and I's ideal occurrence is to every day turn the page so that whenever somebody comes into the design room, they can look at what amazing culture is being featured.
That's cool.
But for the winter line, we were really inspired by this Nepalese group called Ladakhi. And they're in the Himalayas, and they just wear these amazing clothes, you know, lots of flares and textures and the colors. It's just really inspiring.
I've seen that book. Isn't that the really enormous one? It weighs like 30 pounds, and yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like a million pages.
Yes.
It weighs 20 pounds.
So in addition to that, were there any magazines or blogs or any other media like that?
Yeah, we came across this amazing editorial in Harper's Bazaar, Indonesia. The editorial was called Journey to the East, and it was this amazing model shot with this perfect color story that is being told in the current winter line. It pictures all these traditional Nepalese jewelry pieces and mustard colors with scarlet reds and turquoise pops. And so it was really fun to incorporate that photo shoot kind of into our inspiration boards. And we also wanted to include some really native, really tribal color combinations. So a lot of heather grays and speckled black and white patterns to kind of make it feel really ethnic. And then having bright pops of white in there to kind of brighten everything and make it feel fresh and new.
That's really pretty. I can see that now that you're explaining it.
And then also, when we look at blogs, you know, we do a lot of forecasting. And so we saw a bunch of really beautiful heavy textures that are combined into one design. So we tried to recreate that, and then including boucle yarns and kind of fluffy fair isles and things like that were all, you know, just from our inspiration.
So I know that you did a lot of traveling recently too. Were there any trips that you took that helped inspire the winter line?
Actually, I went to visit Peru, when was that, last spring? And one of the groups there, I discovered that they make these beautifully woven pieces, and we've never had a woven piece in the winter line. And so they're able to weave alpaca into scarves. And so that's where the brush fire infinity came from. And so it was really fun to kind of get to explore new woven textures. And there's so many new patterns that you can create with weaves. So mm-hmm. That was really fun.
So I'm thinking to the winter line right now, and the sandara wrap is really blingy, and the snowdrift is really romantic. I mean, does that come from the same inspiration?
Actually, it's a different inspiration. We focus on two inspirations for winter, and so those pieces are inspired by Dr. Zhivago. And so obviously it's a very romantic story, and that's where we got our tonal whites and that addition of lurex and sequins and things like that. And so for that inspiration, we wanted to combine, you know, all these different things into the same design. And right now all this is coming full circle for me because we are just now designing the winter line for next year. So mm-hmm. It's really fun to talk about with you.
So once you have the inspiration mapped out, not just for the winter line, but just from a high level line creation, what's next? You know, how does the line come to life?
Well, kind of the first step to the line is this meeting that we call the Artisan Strategy Meeting. And it's a meeting with Karen and the whole product team and Zahn. And we kind of go through each group and talk about what groups we want to grow with and which groups' numbers are staying the same. And if there's any new groups that we want to incubate and start a relationship with. So that kind of starts everything off. And then Sarah and I... And by the way, Sarah is our assistant designer at Noonday. I just want to give her a shout out in case you hear me saying that name a lot. So we start doing trend research, and we cast a really wide net and, you know, look at everything from magazines to blogs like we talked about earlier, and street style things, tumblers, and of course runway shows to draw inspiration from, and then we narrow it all down.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, do you think about our target customer and how she'd wear these trends?
Yeah, actually, so right now the way we've approached it in the past is just to kind of think about our girl and think about which styles and silhouettes might be a little crazy for her, and it's just been more touchy-feely, but we're wanting to put a little more research behind it, and so we're actually sitting down with the marketing team to kind of redefine our customer and really figure out, you know, what makes her tick and who she really is and how many target customers there are, because obviously not every girl is the same. And so I'm really excited to kind of dive into that. Then we think about the trend curve and how it applies to our girl. And so Zahn touched on this in the fall and winter training video that you all saw. And so it's about the incoming trends, the pre-peak, peak, post-peak, and outgoing trends. And so we kind of analyze how all these different findings that we've compiled go into that. And so the incoming slash emerging trend is something that you'd see on the runway, or a really fashion-forward blogger might be wearing something like that. For now, I think I'm thinking of those really small bandanas that everybody's wearing, you know. I love it, but I don't think I can pull it off. So I feel like that's kind of that riskier thought behind. I like it, but I don't know. So that's kind of that incoming trend. And then next is the pre-peak. And so for us, we try to have a few designs in pre-peak and then most of them, or the rest rather, in the peak trend. And let's see, I want to give you some examples of what pieces are pre-peak. Things like the carved pillar or the constellation earrings, those are kind of a little bit edgier. So your style risk taker might be more willing to wear those. And all those fall into our Norway inspiration, which in itself is a little bit more modern. And this is kind of the first time that we're really focusing on these sleek, more angular designs. And so those all fall into the pre-peak section of the trend curve. Also, things like the Marina necklace, it's like Tagua done in a pre-peak way. So it's more like,
which I love shapes. The update, by the way.
Oh, I'm excited too. Let's see. The Bamiyan scarf, that's a silhouette that I would consider pre-peak. It's a little, you know, it's once you're wearing it, it's really easy to wear, but you're going to have a lot of customers that are like, you know, that's a little too risky for me, but maybe in a year from now, they would be totally comfortable wearing it. So we just throw in a few pieces like that to kind of keep the line fresh and exciting and more trendy. And so for the peak trends, that's when Nordstrom's and Macy's kind of pick up on the trend idea. So something that's super on trend right now is the Y-shaped necklace. So our horn lariat falls into that category. Mm-hmm. It's just everywhere. Whenever you go to a jewelry page online, it's like our new Y necklace. So that one is definitely a peak trend. And then within that peak, you know, there's still like emerging and the top of the peak. So it just, they all kind of meld together in a way. Also, long statement layering pieces like the desert rope or the golden rivers, you know, if you wear it without the extender, would be an example that would be peak, or also the Sunita. And we're seeing lots of dainty necklaces. So pieces like the golden bow. I'm sorry, I've never actually said it's that
okay.
Loud.
It's okay. I'm blanking on it too. But yes, that necklace.
And the Dauntless. They all fall into that category. And then the other peak silhouette would be that long and lean kind of sexy style, like the Pagoda or the Velocity, you know, something like more long and lean feeling. And then we also have classic pieces, so they're kind of seasonless, and it's something really easy to throw on. You know, your customers just, you know, they don't even think twice about it. It's just like the Adrift necklaces or Paper Dreams, any of those multicolored paper beads are just kind of really easy and classic. So once we have all of that kind of figured out, we usually compile mood boards or inspiration boards. So we focus on something like For This Land, Norway, and we compile tons of images of For That Line glaciers and architecture and angular kind of jewelry pieces, just everything, and we throw it up on a board, and Sarah and I present that to Zahn and Jessica, and then we usually present about four or five trends that way, and then we narrow it down to three. And we usually have a color story that's linked to that line. And so that makes the whole line feel more cohesive. And that's actually something that we introduced for the first time for this fall line. And we're continuing to relate the color story back to the inspiration.
I'm thinking about how we're all about collaborative design. And I'm wondering how the artisans find out about the trends and the designs that you're presenting and that you're excited about.
So we are so excited. Karen's been really wanting to implement more collaborative design. So she suggested that we compile all these mood boards into a PDF to send to the artisan partners, which is really fun. So we kind of define all the trends, kind of like I did with you guys or how Zahn did in the past. And we give them inspiration, like what materials we want to be using with this certain trend. Like, for example, with Norway, we talked about wanting to use resin and enamel to kind of mimic some of those textures. So we give them all these materials, and then we also give them a deadline to bring us, come back with ideas. So they're not just getting a document and they're like, what do I do with it? Then we give them a task, which is to go through their line, because usually a lot of the groups actually have existing lines that they design into also. And so we're kind of asking them, hey, take a look at this inspiration and show us what you have in your line that maybe goes with this, or what new techniques have you been exploring, or what new materials have you found? And so they compile everything and send it to us in a document, which has really been fun to give you guys a super secret sneak peek for next spring. One of our inspirations is safari. And so for this trend presentation, some of the materials we would ask for would be like bone and wood and tooled brass or sculpted horn and things like that. And so it's really fun to see what the groups come back with when we give them little directions like that. And so also they, along with that presentation comes the color story. So they sometimes, the group is super inspired and might create, Photoshop something into our color story. So it's been really great to start implementing that more. And some of the newer techniques that we're really excited about for fall that the groups have kind of started using for us in the line is enamel, which is in the Mosaic Sunrise necklace and the Current cuff. And I'm really excited about that metallic leaf that they've been using. I know that's been a lot of development on their part. At first they were using real gold leaf, and then that was too precious to be using for production, so we had to play around with how to get it just right. And so each bangle has the leaf applied by hand, which was also something that required a lot of training. But now that it's been figured out, they're excited to be doing production. Also, some other new materials was exploring glass with the group in Peru that does the higher end jewelry, like the Glassworks earring. And then also, I'm still super excited about the metal and horn combinations that we're able to do in Vietnam. Vietnam's been really just innovative with how they're approaching new materials and things. So that's been really fun. So then next, when we have two design meetings, which Sarah and I present all the different silhouettes. So, for example, for the winter line, it was, you know, obviously we want an infinity. What's that infinity going to look like? How is it going to relate back to the Nepal inspiration? Or for silhouettes, it was about, do we want to try this new bandana scarf, mm-hmm. which is that larger bandana, not like the bamian, but like a knitted, really cool piece. That sounds silly. Anyway, so that was kind of a new silhouette for us that we were excited about. So things like that we present in the
Is it the glacier bandana meeting. Scarf that you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes, exactly. It took me a second to remember the name too. Okay, you're not alone in that. Don't worry.
But so that's a new silhouette that we were excited about to use. And then we just kind of present a ton of ideas that relate back to each trend to Jessica. And she chooses her favorites. And then we usually have those mocked up in Illustrator or just drawn out sketches. Or actually for the winter line, I have a hand knitting machine at home, so I like to knit little swatches at home, which is really fun.
Which I love. I love that you do that.
It takes me back to my sweater design days.
Oh, back Thursday.
And then, let's see. So then we spend about a month creating tech packs, which is technical drawings of all the pieces. Mm-hmm. So it explains what materials you're using, the layout of the piece, the length and size, and every single detail is called out. And we usually create those drawings in Illustrator to make it really detailed. And it's been really exciting because Sarah started about a year ago. And before then, you know, obviously now we have two people creating these tech packs, and it's just so nice to be more thoughtful about creating them and having more time to spend on each piece. And so having her, I think our tech packs have really improved a lot. So it's been fun, and you can definitely see the groups turning around those designs a lot better when you have really clear instructions.
Yeah.
So after we send out these tech packs, we usually try to give the groups about 6 weeks to turn around first samples. And when we get those first samples in, we have a meeting, a sample review, where Sarah's on and I kind of assess the line and decide what pieces to move forward with and what pieces need changes, and then we request those changes for the second sample.
Mm-hmm. So I've noticed when I've been behind the scenes and I've, you know, stopped in the design room when I've needed a break, there are pieces that I have noticed and I might have fallen in love with that don't make it through to an actual line. So can you speak to that? Where did they go?
I know, it's so sad. We usually have over design in the line. So uh-huh. Right now we're shooting for about 30% over design. And so in the past we've had a little bit more, but now we're finally getting closer to that goal of just having 30%. Uh-huh. And so that accounts for pieces coming in not correctly or just something that doesn't necessarily fit or might have a counterpart that, you know, we'll look at two different ropes and like, oh, we only need one, you know, and so then we have to choose one.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. So, it's like choosing your favorite child.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's even about which one will be more successful in mass production.
Yeah.
So some of those really special pieces might be too difficult to really execute in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where those go.
So what about... So I know that Jessica is also a strong creative force in the design process, and you spoke a little bit to that. You know, with her traveling a lot and her being someone who surrounds herself with creativity, sometimes inspiration just strikes for her. So how do you accommodate that in this process that you guys have laid out?
We leave some room in the line for these things called chase designs.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, Jessica will get inspired and she'll email us her favorite new image from a trip or mm-hmm. something that she's excited about. And so we kind of file that away until we have that first sample review, and then we slot those new designs and her ideas into the line for that. And we actually have a board in the design room that's called Jessica's Picks. And so that's where all those pieces live until we actually slot them in.
That's so fun.
And some of some favorites that we have in the line currently are some of those last minute chase designs. So that would be like the Silver Steps wrap or the Fatima bangle and the famous cover piece, the La Luna necklace.
That's amazing. I had no idea that those were her chase designs.
Yep.
That's fun. That's really neat to know. Another thing I was wondering about is hearing what other influences there are when building a line and designing a line. So, I mean, what things that you take into consideration when you're creating it. Can you speak to the topic of artisan skill and materials and such that help steer the line?
Yeah, actually, you know, each group has some kind of limitation, some more than others. For example, in Ecuador, it's, you know, you have tagua. You have to use some kind of tagua in the piece. Or in Uganda, you have to use paper beads. And so those limitations are kind of what ends up inspiring that part of the line the most, which is really fun. You know, it's kind of a new way to approach the pieces, because you have to be really innovative. And, you know, you can't necessarily be innovative in the material that you're using, but you can use the material in unexpected ways, which is fun. And so also for things like new techniques, like that gold metallic leaf technique, since they've now perfected it, I really want to keep using it so that skill doesn't go to waste. And so just being really intentional about things like that. Also, when Karen and I were in India together, we were talking about the price of the raw material in a design versus the amount of labor that actually goes into the design. So there's, you know, certain pieces where the raw material might be the main cost driver of that piece. But what we ideally want is that the raw material is less, and that we're investing mostly for that handmade aspect of the piece.
So are there any specific pieces in the line that reflect that?
Yeah, actually, the leather leaf earrings. When we were visiting Sham's workshop, they were talking about how at first they could not stand those earrings because they took forever to make.
I love how brutally honest they are.
I know sometimes an artisan group might be like, we don't want to make that one. Please take it out.
They even have their favorites and their least favorites.
But so it was really time consuming for them to create it, but it's actually a really beneficial design because the leather and the earring hook and the wire are a minimal cost to them. So when they're getting paid for that piece, it's all about the hand labor that goes into it, which is, and so now they're actually really comfortable with making it. So it's not one of the styles that they dislike anymore. But that's a good example of that. So ideally, we want to be really intentional about having pieces like that in the line for each group so that they really benefit, the artisan really benefits from having that.
You know, you talking about that, it just makes me think about how, you know, design is more than just, you know, creating pretty things that we love to buy and wear. Like, it's very strategic and intentional and in helping create sustainability and jobs and income. And, you know, I knew that your role was important. I've always admired, you know, your work and your department's work. But, you know, as we've been prepping for the podcast and we talked about that, it was just such a really amazing detail that I had never considered that, you know, some of these pieces really are moneymakers for them. And it's on purpose.
For pieces like the Orissa beads, it's been kind of a different strategy because the Orisa beads, they're all handcrafted or hammered in that village. Mm-hmm. But they also have... So what I was thinking at first was, oh, great, you know, we can use these Orisa beads in a different, you know, with some of these crazy glass beads that we can get in New Delhi. And then Sham's group is assembling them. And then when I visited them last summer, we discovered that they have this whole other section of ladies that only do assembling there. So all that knotting and mm-hmm. things like that gets created there. So even though we were using the Orisa beads, the ladies still weren't assembling the pieces. So now it's been my mission to put another threaded Orisa piece in the line, or at least in some part of the design, so that the ladies in that workshop can assemble it, and then they can ship that piece to New Delhi to be assembled in Sham's workshop into maybe something grander mm-hmm. or bigger. Mm-hmm. So that's been a fun thing to figure really out, neat. Too. Oh, and then going back to some of these techniques that really have been, you know, a healthy challenge, I guess I'll call them, to some of the artisan communities are like the water drop prism, the earrings that we all love. Uh-huh. At first, those started out as something that the group was like, oh, we got another reorder for those. But now that they've made, I don't know how many units we've ordered, but millions. now they're happy with that piece, and they're really proud of it too. And they have it displayed in their workshop, and it's something that they're really excited about. And the same goes for that metallic leaf technique. It took them a really long time to perfect it, but mm-hmm. it's been... I hope that they are also enjoying that exploration and they can continue to improve it and also maybe use it for their own line, which is ultimately what we want for them whenever we introduce new techniques, is for them to take it and go somewhere new with it.
Mm-hmm. Joanna, this has been so insightful and really encouraging to see how intentional your department is. I think every time I interview someone, I think about how encouraging it is to hear how intentional your role is. So thank you so much for shedding light into what you do.
Oh, thanks so much. It's been fun to chat with you.
Thank you guys so much. I really love this look behind the scenes. I always knew our design team was collaborative and creative, but Joanna, thank you so much for sharing how intentional you are with the designs and how you make sure that each and every item is impacting and employing as many people as possible. It's incredibly inspiring, and I cannot wait to see what's coming up in spring 2016. I know it's going to be phenomenal. Now, let me introduce you to a design-loving ambassador named Heather Bauer. Heather is a rock star ambassador, and she lives in Austin, Texas. If you have met her or come across her, you are instantly going to see the just style that she has and the confidence she has in her own kind of eclectic aesthetic. She really is able to spread her design confidence on to her customers, onto her friends. I know I've definitely been influenced by her, and I would love for you to hear her share how design has come to mean something important to her and how she has shared it with her customers.
Hi, I'm Heather Bauer. I live in Austin, and I have been an ambassador for 2 years. I grew up with 3 sisters, so there was lots of dress-up and styling going on in my house. My sisters are all legit artists, painters, illustrators. My youngest sister is even a fashion designer. Me? I can't draw a stick figure to save my life. So while I don't necessarily share their same gifting, I grew up greatly influenced by their creativity. I've always loved clothes and fashion, but it wasn't until I met Noonday that I started developing a love for accessories, first as a customer, then a hostess, and obviously now as an ambassador. To be honest, I'm not comfortable calling myself a stylist. Many of you may feel the same way. I mean, I can't even define my own style. I just wear it because I like it. So we'll just call my style eclectic, right? Because isn't that the hodgepodge catch-all? Actually, going to conference last January and hearing from the style bloggers Noonday brought in to teach a couple sessions, that was super helpful for me. They were able to put into words why certain combinations work and different style formulas that I could then share with customers with greater confidence. The vodka cocktail was definitely my favorite lesson. So, how has my style influenced me as an ambassador? I think it's really been an evolution. I mean, initially, I was very tied to the artillery pieces because I like the edgy and more modern look that they add to my wardrobe. Plus, they're so versatile. I can wear them with jeans and a t-shirt, a dressier date night outfit, or they can dress up your little black dress for a fancy evening. However, now as an ambassador, we have loads of samples at our fingertips, right? And I've found that I love challenging myself, especially with pieces that don't necessarily feel like me at first look. Especially at trunk shows, I mean, what a great place to challenge yourself. I always try and wear a piece I've never worn to see how it feels and if it resonates with any of my customers. And most of the time, I get hooked on that piece and it gets rolled into my everyday circulation. You know, when I first saw the Tamiya necklace in the new fall line, it was honestly not my favorite. It felt like too much going on, didn't feel like me, I wasn't sure about the colors. However, I went to Ecuador this summer on one of the ambassador trips with a group of other really cool chick ambassadors. So much fun. And we got to sit alongside artisans and actually assemble the Tamiya. And it gave me a whole other level of insane appreciation for the artisan craft. It was really hard. But truly, it was seeing all my ambassador friends trying this necklace on with different outfits, getting excited, ooing and aahing over one another, and taking pictures of each other that really made me start to love this piece. It really grew on me. It was like this, you know, community shopping experience with friends and everybody getting excited. But more importantly, it reminded me of how customers often feel at our trunk shows, right? They aren't sure where to start, what to try on. It feels overwhelming. They may not feel confident to put different necklaces on or some of our bigger earrings or more funky pieces. But if you can just get that necklace on one or two people and have them see each other in it, it's so fun to watch that customer transform and think, okay, I can pull this off. This is a really fun piece. And I think that's what makes trunk shows unique. Everybody kind of gets to become a stylist there. I have this one customer that comes to mind when I think about my own style evolution and I think about my ambassador role as a stylist to my customers. So this customer attended her first trunk show 2 years ago. She laughingly and somewhat timidly shared that she didn't really wear accessories, that she just wore the same simple studs every day and didn't really know how to accessorize. So I pointed her to the metallic pearl earrings and the Betty rope. Simple, they go with everything, easy to wear. And that felt like a stretch for her, and she still needed lots of encouragement, but she did walk away that evening excited about her purchase. And I would run into her at our kids' school or in the neighborhood, and she would proudly show me that she was sporting her artillery pieces. And I could tell that she felt good in them, and she felt confident. Then she came to another party, and we added the mint paper bead necklace because she noticed me layering necklaces for another customer and knew that would go with her Betty rope. And not long after that, she emailed me asking for outfit advice for an upcoming family portrait. And she lives just a half mile from me, so I zipped over and dropped off the Angelica scarf and the turquoise tagwaseed bracelet for her to borrow for the pictures. And she wasn't so sure at first, but she trusted me and wore them and really fell in love with them and returned my samples to me, but immediately ordered her own. And even not long after that, she became a Noonday hostess so she could score some free jewelry and continue to add to her growing collection. That customer has been one of my favorite style evolutions to get to participate in because it's just been fun. We've taken small steps along the way, and now she proudly shows me things she's layered together on her own. And the reward is not that she keeps buying stuff from me and adding to my commissions, but the reward is that she is seeing her own beauty, finding freedom in it, and having fun in the process. So my next step is to get a big old statement necklace on her. You'll have to stay tuned.
Thank you so much, Heather. You have absolutely inspired me. I want to go right now to my samples and dig through them and find those few pieces that I've just been convinced are not me. And if you're listening and maybe you're inspired too, I encourage you to go out there, get into your samples, pull out those pieces that you just haven't worn or haven't thought you could pull off. Try it on with a few of your outfits and then wear it once or twice this week and see how you feel about it. Maybe you're going to change your mind. Maybe it's going to become one of your favorite pieces, or maybe you'll be able to talk about it and share it with your customers better because you've been wearing it around town. And if you feel like it, I would love for you to take a picture of you wearing that piece and post it to the Facebook wall using the hashtag YouMatter. I'd love to see what you were wearing with confidence. When you wear something with confidence, you not only feel better yourself, but you inspire others around you to feel better as well. And all of those pieces, they are all designed in a collaborative way with our artisan partners around the world. Every piece has a story. Every piece has its own unique beauty. And I hope you can really embrace it and begin to make more of those pieces your own and share them with your customers at trunk shows this fall. All right, please take a moment, share any takeaways from today's design episode over on our Facebook wall using the hashtag YouMatter. Let's keep the conversation going until next time. As you interact, we'll drive content and hopefully share your voice on a podcast soon. Thanks for listening in, and we'll talk again soon.